Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. It's Pam with the Paper Outpost, and this is the Paper Outpost podcast, the joy of junk journals, sitting here in the craft room today with Sunbun. Nope. Sunbun is over on, where is he? He's over in the living room. I can't see him from here. He's either on the couch or on the mat, his two usual places. So I'm answering your crafty questions today, and I spy some interesting ones. Yep, covering junk journaling, paper crafting, life of a crafter, and your amazing questions. So here we go. Don't have me spectacles on, so give me a second here. Oh, I apologize for the delay in the uploading of the videos. It's just like slow as molasses or something. I have the videos ready, and I give them a day to upload, and they're moving at a snail's pace, and I've really done everything I can think of to expedite the process, and it's out of my hands as far as I can see. I think it's a YouTube thing, so I think what I'm going to need to do, long story short, is just make the videos several days earlier so there's enough lead time so they just get loaded up and ready for start time at 7 a.m. on Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday. So give me a chance to work on that a little bit. I got to do some schedule shuffling, but that is the goal, to get them up and ready again right at the 7 a.m. hour. Let me check this one. It's loading right now. It's like slow. 80%. Okay. And it moves about 1% an hour. I mean, it's so slow. So, but anyway, back to the fun. Let's see. A user asked, what are different options for binding? I don't sew. Can I use cardboard instead of a paper bag? Yes. The great news is the answer to most things in the world of junk journaling is a big yes. You don't need to sew. If you're looking to see visually how to do bindings without actually sewing, take a peek into my junk journal construction cover spines and signatures playlist on my main channel homepage. And you're going to see a lot of different ways to construct a junk journal. And there's a good solid portion of those that don't require sewing. Just off the top of my head, you can do elastic cord binding, wrapping it north and south around the signatures, and just sliding the signatures under the elastic cord to hold them in. This is a great way to also display greeting cards if you want to make a greeting card journal. Let's say you want to put all your Christmas cards from 2023 in a journal. That's a nice idea, by the way. Plus, it also gives you a great resource if you want to use those beautiful Christmas pictures for maybe your Christmas junk journal the following year. You already have them all organized. And you can still keep the handwritten part if you want. And then you can, you know, cut them up and use it as a resource. And you could even construct a different, obviously you can't do the slide-in thing if you're going to cut the cover off of the card or the front part of it, but you could what is better than another reason to make a different journal? You could make a journal that has slotted pockets, and you could tuck those beautiful things people write and into the pockets. And then I was just thinking, what a nice heirloom gift that would be, like taking all the handwritten notes from family and friends and constructing a journal just with those cut out. You don't even have to keep them maintained on the back half of the card. You could cut out their handwriting. I mean, that's kind of a nice, beautiful thing to gift down to future generations. They're going to see cards from Aunt Mary and Aunt Joyce and Aunt Sally and Uncle Joe and their handwriting. And so there's a lot of different things that you could do with that. Just a random write-off thought. So yes, you can also staple, you can tape, you can glue, and there's different ways to do that, but those are best shown by video, I would say. So take a peek, see, and see what you find. Sunset Sky asks, why do you call a booklet a signature? Good question. I have absolutely no idea. It's a bookbinding term that I just picked up from other junk journalers and from other bookbinding, videos and researching and things like that. It is kind of an odd word. There's probably, okay, I could probably look it up. Like, why is a signature called a signature in a book? Now I want to know. Why is a signature, I'm going to the grand Google of it all. I know this is really called a signature in a book. Now you would think I would know this, but nope. No, I'm just all about the crafting. Just let me get in there and play with the papers. Known as signatures, these sheets have multiple pages printed on a sheet side. Signatures are most often associated with long-run book orders. Why are book signatures called signatures? Okay, fun fact. Oh, this might be interesting. In bookbinding, groups of folded blank pages are actually called sections, while groups of folded pages with text are referred to as signatures. Oh, this is interesting. Bookbinders like to use the term signatures for both because it's easier. The left two signatures were created with the assembly method. Okay, so, well, that's interesting. So apparently, somebody said somewhere that technically groups of folded papers with text are called signatures. Groups of folded papers, which are blank, are called sections. Now, I do remember sitting in college and they would say, turn to this section in a book. And that had text in it, on it. So all my college professors were inaccurate using their terms. I'm sorry, but Google knows. And if it's on the internet, you know it's true, right? So there you go. All right. For what that means, nobody knows. Okay. Great question, though. Okay, we mind-boggled over that for a bit. I love that. It's kind of fun to go down these new little rabbit holes. Dottie Kilburn says, did you know, ? On the video titled Got Paper Strips, distress oxides and distress inks will both do different things when activated with water. I watched Pam spray the inked strips on the index card with water. Oxides will make a mottled effect when using water. The regular inks will blend with water, making a different effect. But just an FYI, both move with water. Thank you. Thank you for adding that little tidbit. Yes, I'm not 100% sure what the difference is, although I have found they do give you different results, and they're both fun to play with. So I guess pigment, from what I understand, the oxides are ink plus pigment, and the distress inks, not the oxides, just the distress inks, are just ink. Or dye, I'm sorry, yes. So distress ink is just dye. Distress oxide ink is dye plus pigment. There, can we make that any more mottled than we did? I think it's the migration of the pigment that pulls into the, I think it almost works like a watercolor. That's what I wanna say. I don't have great confidence in that answer, but I'm gonna toss that out there. The way you almost get these cauliflower designs when you drip water on it or spray water on it. Well, I don't think the plain dye, just the distress ink one, will do that. It'll more be more of a diffuse, even, dilute area. I'm making this up entirely in my mind. That's what I think. Okay, kind of an interesting ponder. Okay, here's a nice little generic question. Carrie Johnson says, how did you get into this? Great question. Probably, like most of you, I was watching YouTube And I think it all started with Nick the Booksmith. And I was just, I actually had a different YouTube channel before that on a completely unrelated topic. I remember watching Nick going, I'm so fascinated by what she was doing, and she's so meticulous and really good at measuring and stuff. And I'm thinking, wow, you go, sister, look at you. You're doing amazing things. And I would, you know, love to participate. I just don't have I don't have it in me to do a YouTube channel on this topic. But the more I got into it, and the more I got excited about it, and the more journals that got churned out of these fingers, yeah, well, you might know the history, but the YouTube channel was born inevitably. So yeah, I got excited about it, watching other people make them. And it seemed like the more people that I watched, the more ideas that I got. And everybody seemed to have a little bit different approach to the entire project. And I would take little morsels from everybody. And often I would learn how to break through the roadblocks of constructing a journal.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
By watching somebody else and they didn't even see what I thought was a roadblock, they would just motor right on through it and do however they did it and not even bat an eye, not even highlight it, make a point about it. But for me personally, I would get really stuck on some certain parts of making a journal. And when I saw them just show how they did it, it just moved mountains for me. It was all like the fog cleared. Now I had a technique I could use reliably and jump over that hurdle, and I could keep on going forward. Getting those signatures aligned, getting the pages to fit inside the cover, getting the spine to be the right size. How many signatures should I put in a book? How much gap between the signatures? How much stuff to put in? Different ways to decorate. Can you make a journal pretty and beautiful on the inside without loading it with stuff? How about if you want to load it with stuff? What's the best way to put the stuff in there? Just, you know, the million and one questions we junk journal makers have. It was so relieving to just imagine all these other people in different corners of the world making their own handmade books, being faced with these little challenges and then breaking through them. And then, thankfully, we have a way to share these things. So, you know, back in the day when it was just you on the farm and, you know, it was a day's ride to the nearest town, that was always my family story when they lived out in Saskatchewan. Years ago, the grandparents and, you know, the first round of kids in Canada, you had what you had and that was it. There was no YouTube, there was no Google, there was barely getting over to a neighbor's house and, you know, you might have, you know, a weekly gathering with the local neighbors or something, or maybe you were, you know, helping somebody build a barn and, you know, you would trade tips of the trade then, yes. Here's what we do. These are the nails you need. Don't use that wood. Use this wood. You know, that kind of stuff. So that was the smaller version of the more local, you know, primitive version of what we do with all the sharing of information. But it's great because if you really get into a craft, you can just dive deep and go. You know what I mean? You can just go and explore a lot of different things. So let's see what else. Here, hold on. Okay, so let me heart that one. Okay. A user asks, and I just say user because that's actually the YouTube name of the person. I guess it's when they don't have a channel name, it just gives them user and a bunch of letters after it. So user asks, do you buy your oxidized ink in a group, like a package of more like 10 or so, or do you buy them separately? Because I've been looking and the most I can find is one. And they're small. Oh yeah, watch out for the small ones. Sometimes you think you're buying the big ones and you end up with the small ones. That happens to all of us. You're not alone. So there's like some that are like, oh, why is this ink pad? Okay, the big one is at least like 2 1/4, something like that wide. But there's smaller ones that are like almost like inches or inch and a half. I've done everything. I've bought them individually. Like sometimes I'll just need a brown or a black or something like that, in which I go through more quickly. I haven't really gone through them that much more quickly, but I have bought individuals. And when I was first amassing them, I was looking at the regular retail price and I thought, wow, you know, you can blow your bank pretty fast by buying the brand new ones. They're nice and juicy and full of color. And once you invest, you've got them almost forever. They do withstand the test of time. And I'm very brutal with them. An ink pad is almost just like, it's a pad, like a little piece of felt and cloth over it or something like that. And once it's devoid of ink, you can replace it with the re-inkers, which are technically a little less expensive, I think, than buying a new ink pad. And I have found that the distress oxides versus the distress inks do yield more intense color, and they seem to last longer, and I think it's because of the pigment in them. And you can buy the oxide refillers, re-inkers as well. They come in little bottles, at least for this brand, and like with an eyedropper, and about 4 or 5 squirts. Now you're going to get quite a few rounds of the 4 or 5 squirts out of one re-inker. And I would say one re-inker might cost what it costs to buy one new pad, but you're probably going to get 4 or 5 rounds of the 4 or 5 squirts to reload it. So I think you're saving in the long run by doing that. And that seems to have worked well. Now, an ink pad can either dry up or be devoid of ink. So if it's just dry, give it a little spritz with water, or a little spritz with water and a little bit of vegetable glycerin in your water. That the vegetable glycerin acts as a humectant, and it will pull moisture out of the air, keeping your ink pad moist longer. But the more glycerin that you have, that means the wetness will stay there, so that when you stamp into your pad and you put it on the paper, it will take a few extra seconds to dry on your paper because it has the glycerin in there. But you know, it all depends how much a few seconds means to you, this way or that way. If it's no big deal, it might make your pads last a little bit longer because they'll be soft. They won't go dry or brittle or, you know, anything like that. But I would say the most wear and tear I do see on the pads are the edges fray a little bit, but it doesn't seem to make a whole hill of beans difference when I'm inking. Now, I am not an ink aficionado. I'm a, you know, more like a Homer Simpson style inker. I just sort of bumble in there, stamp away, and see what I get. And I'm completely fulfilled with that. Yes, I am. It takes me to higher levels I've ever hoped, because I never think I'd ever be good at it at all. So if I get ink on the paper, I consider it a win. Yeah. Now, I've been very brutal with my stamps. Okay, let's talk some rubber stamp honesty. Okay. Now, a really well-organized crafter would wipe down their rubber stamps after every inking. They would be clean as a whistle. They would have special solutions to do that with, probably special cloths, maybe even fancy glasses, eyeglasses, and special lighting to do it under. Not happening here. No. I don't think I would want to spend the time doing that. I'd rather be crafting. So really, that's what it boils down to. So I will get a lot of commingled ink colors when I stamp. Sometimes there'll be a little bit of residual black on the rubber stamp from a previous inking, and then I'll put it in a pink ink pad. Yes, I will get black ink from my rubber stamp on the pink ink pad. It will never be as pink and crispy pink as it was. If that irks you to no end, don't do it. If you're more of the cloth of, it's no big deal, I don't mind a little mottling, a little, you know, muted tone here and there, I'm okay with that, then come along for the ride. All is good, all is well, all are fine. The most important barometer is, are you having fun? And remember, they're your toys to play with. That's right. So beware of the shoulds and just have more fun. Okay. So the next question. So yeah, I buy them all. When they became like, I had to have every color and they were outrageously expensive. I went on to eBay and I bought used ones. And I figured there had to be somebody who died and left some perfectly full ink pads out there that just needed to go back to the universe. And maybe there was a family member putting this stuff on eBay. And I thought, well, they would probably be happy I was putting them to good use. So they would be okay. So Yes, and not everybody has to die for you to get their ink pads. Sometimes people just get bored of a craft, or they're done with it, or they're not interested anymore, or they've switched to knitting. You know what I mean? It's okay. It's perfectly okay to switch to knitting. You go to knitting, you knit, but there's a secret little part in you that still wants to come back and make a junk journal, isn't there? I don't know. I'm just teasing. Okay, so next question. This is the beginner junk journal ideas video. Can you show me again or send me to the video where you tie your junk journals together? I'm seeing you have a real problem with that, and I'd like to buy one. And your already made junk journals, but I can't find them in your Etsy shop. She said, I seem to have a real problem with that. Not that I do personally, that she does. Oh, that is so funny. I thought she was telling me I have a problem. Yeah, I've got a lot of problems when it comes to junk journal making. So please show me again where videos. I think she's asking, where can you buy a finished junk journal from me? And generally, I just do it a couple of ways. I will either just sneak one into my Etsy shop, no fanfare, no video, no social media thing, and just let whoever happens to come by, if they're interested in it, they can buy it. And I will put some pictures in there so that you can get an idea of what the flow is. And often it will be one that I'm making on videos, and you'll be able to watch the videos and kind of see what was in it. But the other way is the big fanfare. That would be the junk journal flip through when it's completed. An announcement in the community tab, social media splash, and just put it out there. So those are kind of my two techniques to do that. When there is a junk journal available for me, there's a journal section that will open and will appear in my Etsy shop. If you don't see a journal section, that means there's no journals at the moment, but they could appear at any time, because I do make journals off camera as well too. So there you go. I hope you're having fun out there. Keep having fun with your papers. Sunny and I send our hugs, and happy crafting, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.